It's Thursday, and that means it's time to talk to a professional who would never forget a name.
So, I wish your son Miller all the best.
My name is Noah!
Why? Because his voice is so velvety smooth.
Yo, Manella, kick it one time, boy.
It makes the girls go,
oh my.
He's a rapper so fly.
So if you want sports talk that's more than just a score, you gotta listen to Wade on KD Country 94. We got the tunes that'll make you shake and bake. Z96.3, The Lake.
He makes Eminem wanna cry. It's the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Heen.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Right now, on The Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie at 118 North Millen Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.
Ah, yes, the righteous dude himself, Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, joining us here today on The Sports Ticket. Brian, how are you?
Doing great, Wade. How are you?
Not too bad. I just want to let you know that I know you're big on free throw contest, that my son, Miller, as you know him, he made it to state for the second straight year, so he gets to go to state in a couple weeks.
How about that? Now, was this the typical 25 shots attempted?
Yes, 25, and there was a little drama. I think all of the parents and grandparents were a little bit nervous, to say the least. Two kids in his group went up, made 22 out of 25. He went up there, went 9 of 11, and made his last 14 and beat the two kids by one.
No way. How about that? That's incredible.
Yeah.
I hit 23 out of 25 when I was 11 and lost. That's big time, man. I love that.
He didn't have the guy that beat you in this contest. He was too old and not eligible. So that's the only reason he won. Hey, man, I hear it's not good weather there in Lawrence today. The campus is shut down?
It is. KU Athletics offices and the campus, all the classes, everything shut down. Big ice storm up here, so everybody was told to stay home. Bill Self's press conference is going to be a phone call. And still getting set for the Red Raiders, and the guys will – that's the beauty of being on campus at McCarthy Hall. They've got half of a practice court in their dorm, and then they really just have to shuffle about 100 yards, not even that, really, about 80 yards, you know, across the way from McCarthy Hall into Allen Fieldhouse, and they can still practice and don't have to get in cars or anything. So super convenient to keep the preparations for Saturday coming, but for everybody else that would be driving in to go to work, school, or cover the Jayhawks and media stuff today, all that is shut down.
All right, so let's go back two games since we spoke, and certainly two exciting games for the Jayhawks and their fans. Let's go back to the West Virginia game. Just a little bit of drama in that one. West Virginia looked like was in control, but you know from the previous two times that West Virginia couldn't hold double-digit leads against Kansas. Jayhawks come back and win. Certainly a big story after the game, which is unfortunate because it takes away from what KU accomplished, and that is 35-2 free throw discrepancy. Bob Huggins, I thought, was very measured and to an extent after the game, and pointed out that this was something that has been building with him. This isn't something that just happened the other day against Kansas. He even admitted, hey, we blew the game last year. That wasn't the official's fault. But he'd never in 40 years of coaching seen a discrepancy like that. I know Bill Self even said he doesn't think he's seen a discrepancy like that. To me, when I watched the game, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but West Virginia settled for a lot of threes. They didn't drive it as much in the second half as Kansas did. And they went conservative, I thought, to an extent, with about 8 minutes on the clock, milking it down and basically pick and roll up high with Carter and Kanate. And yes, there were a few calls, certainly, that went Kansas's way, as were there a few earlier in the game that went West Virginia's way. But to me, I think at the end of the day, if you go back and watch the game and hear a neutral observer, you would say that if the free throw discrepancy was 30-12, you wouldn't have really argued with that. But it is hard to believe that West Virginia only got two free throws.
It is, but I think your analysis is spot on, and you know so much of that was the shot selection that they were settling for. I mean, more than half of Kanate's shots were 17-footers. So when he touched the ball, he wasn't even touching it on the block. They weren't driving it to the rim like Kansas was. And their pressuring style, where they get out and hound you, not as much as they used to in the full court, but they extend that pressure within the half court a ton, it's just going to lend itself to more fouling. And, you know, we don't have time to break it all down right now, but I know that those that have in longer form fashion said, really, if you take away the fact that there were four technical foul shots on his double technical, in which he got one free throw per F-bomb dropped, then there's four off the total right there. There were two more free throws after that, after he left the court when they were still fouling. And at that point, you go from 29 to 35. You start to whittle it down, though, and really they were only about four or five free throws above their typical average when you take out some of the quirky reasons for fouling there. And honestly, Jay Billis went back and reviewed the film because he thought, while there were definitely a couple of missed calls here or there, overall the game was officiated well, and it was a product of the shot selection you mentioned and the fact that Kansas was really forcing the issue to pound it inside the Doak and drive it inside with the guards. Billis went back and said, you know what? There were actually 15 other opportunities where a whistle could have been blown, but nine of those would have gone against West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously always times where you could have an extra foul here or another call there. In this case, he went back and very meticulously looked at everything and said, okay, yeah, I guess there were more times they could have blown a whistle, but 60% of them would have been additional fouls on West Virginia. So, it's one of those deals where West Virginia fans just have to come to grips with that's the way they play, and Kansas took advantage of it. And, yeah, it was really lopsided in the final tally, but I think some of that was a little bit inflated with how the last 60 seconds went. And, clearly, 17-0 run where more than half of that comes at the free throw line because of all of that is going to blow up those numbers much bigger than they would have been anyway.
Absolutely. So a big comeback for KU winning against West Virginia at home on Saturday. Then Monday night, big Monday. Saturday, Cole Aldrich's jersey was retired. And then, of course, Sherron Collins was on Monday. And the Jayhawks jump all over Oklahoma, 10-0, 20-4. I never felt at all that Oklahoma was going to come back in this game. And here's why. They don't play defense. And it's funny because now a lot of people are talking about how OU doesn't play defense. Now, people in the know like yourself and other sports talk show hosts that follow this, like myself, knows that even when Oklahoma was winning a lot of games earlier in the year, they still weren't exactly a defensive juggernaut. They would outscore people. Now it seems to me the second time through the Big 12, teams have adjusted against Trae Young. OU was 6-3 through the first half of the schedule. They're 0-6 the second half around. Teams have adjusted. Oklahoma hasn't counter-adjusted, if that's such a thing. Other players aren't stepping up making shots. And then it seems like their defense is actually getting worse, which is hard to fathom. I mean, KU, I don't want to take anything away from the Jayhawks. They played great. They shot the ball well. They attacked. They did anything they wanted in this game. But my goodness gracious, that is one of the poorest defensive performances I have ever seen from a Division I basketball team.
Yeah, it was certainly one that left a lot to be desired if you're an OU fan, and yet I think that OU fans realize for this one year, this is kind of what they've sold out for,
yeah.
To have the Trae Young, Steph Curry circus, and Trae just doesn't play a ton of defense. I think he's a terrific prospect, that's an exceptional passer, and it's not just that he can make these 37-footers with a hand in his face and be the whirling dervish, floating through the lane, spinning, contorting, twisting, and hitting. It's that he can find his teammates and set them up. And, Brady Manning's not going to be the player next year he was this year because he's not going to have Trae Young getting him wide open looks anymore. So it's not just that he's a scorer. He's a great passer, too. But, man, is that other end of the floor right now a liability. And obviously he's going to go in the top six or seven picks in the draft. And yet that's an area where he's really going to have to improve. And I think that as you said, teams have adjusted to him offensively. You look at his game logs for the last 3 weeks, and the Kansas game obviously was his worst, his lowest scoring output of 11. He was 3 of 13. But last six or seven games, in the midst of this slide they're on right now, he's shooting 7 of 21, 6 of 22, 7 of 20. I mean, all right around that 35% shooting range. And not that he was exceptionally efficient to start the year, but, I mean, really bad numbers now, like 0 of 9 threes in Lubbock. And I think clearly it's in his head a little bit. But, Lon Kruger, obviously, earlier in his career, a guy that's been to two Final Fours and is certainly, in my opinion, a Hall of Fame coach when you consider the fact that he's taken five different teams to the tournament and has had success at a very high level. He used to be a great defensive coach. The pride of Silver Lake, Kansas, by the way, I'll point out. And yet I think for this one year they've kind of sold out on their typical philosophies to have the Trae Young show. And it was fun while it lasted at the start of the year, but now it's nitty-gritty time. They got to find a way to win a couple of games down the stretch or they could be on the outside looking in. And I think this, I believe this with all my heart, Trae Young should win the National Player of the Year based on the way they vote on it, because he's going to end up leading the nation, we assume, in scoring and assists for the first time anyone's ever done that anywhere ever at the D1 level. And they vote largely on production at the National Player of the Year award type level. I don't think he's your Conference Player of the Year. I don't think you can vote him the Big 12 Player of the Year. Let's say they win one of their last three, okay? Then he will have lost 8 of his last 9, and they go from being a top 10 team to the bottom couple in the conference. There's no way you can make him the Big 12 Player of the Year when he shot it so miserably in the second half and his team struggled dramatically because of it. I know the numbers in terms of production and totals are there, but the efficiency in getting them and what it actually equated to in wins versus losses, in my mind, if not taking him off the ballot, it certainly drops him below Keenan Evans and Devontae Graham. And honestly, just shooting straight, before this Evans toe injury, I would have given him my vote over Devontae. Yeah. He's been phenomenal. And Devontae's been a little up and down with his shot at times, because in part he's hardly ever coming off the floor. In terms of a guy just giving it all, though, you know, Devontae is that, and he affects so much of the game beyond shooting numbers. But to me, I think it's got to be one of those two guys based on how their team has done. And now that Keenan didn't play the second half versus Baylor, tried to play last night, wasn't himself, had to come off the floor, maybe Devontae has a chance of winning this thing after all, because I just don't know how any balloter in their right mind can look at the free fall tailspin that Oklahoma's in the midst of, look at how Young has shot it during that stretch, and still vote him the Big 12 Player of the Year.
I mean, they could end up being 6-12. You said one of their last three. If they win, that'd be 7-11 in the Big 12. You're not even really that close to 500, to be quite honest with you, in the Big 12. So I agree with all your points there, no doubt about that. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. You mentioned Devontae Graham. He played very well against Oklahoma. It seemed to me that KU had a chip on their shoulder from the very beginning against Oklahoma. They felt like they let that one slip away. That was a hack-a-doke game down in Norman. Udoka, of course, had an unbelievable game against West Virginia. Hit 7 out of 10 free throws, which was insane and good to see. And then, Graham defensively, he is a complete point guard. You pointed it out. Young plays one end of the floor. Graham will play both, and then he plays almost all the minutes. There was two things that were surprising to me about that game against Oklahoma. Not that Kansas won. Not that Kansas won easily. But that Graham actually got a chance to get a rest. And two, maybe it's not a surprise to people close to the program, but I think to a lot of people that have been following DeSosa and his development, Sylvia DeSosa came up big when KU needed it when they were in foul trouble.
That was huge. And, you know, that's something that if he can bottle that up, and I'm not saying he goes for 10 a game every night, but if we could get 10 productive minutes from him every night with 6 points and 4 boards, who else in the country is getting that at this juncture? We'll see if Michael Porter winds up playing, but obviously Mizzou's in a different boat than Kansas right now. But who else is adding a 5-star guy that Bill Self really felt prior to him playing internationally last summer and being back home in Africa as opposed to the AAU circuit? Self felt Silvio would have been a top 5 overall signee for the 2018 class. Who else is adding that right now, you know? And I say adding it right now because obviously it took him a month and a half to truly settle in. He would get in games and have that deer in the headlights look and be sped up and turn it over, and it didn't go well. And coach would give him a quick hook after 46 seconds because, heck, the first Oklahoma game, he literally turned it over 3 times in 64 seconds. You can't keep him on the floor beyond that. But now, you know, he's built like a guy who's 20. And he's starting to play like a guy that has been on campus for more than just 6 or 7 weeks. And I think we're seeing the light come on in a way that could really help this Kansas team in a lot of ways. And so you put that with the fact that prior to Monday night, we've not seen all 4 guards hitting on the same night since November against much inferior competition. The whole season, by and large, it's been 2 of the 4, and it's changed as to which 2 we're hitting. Some nights maybe only 1, and yet they got it done. Imagine the ceiling of untapped potential for this team if they do start to put it together. And I know it's unrealistic to think that all five starters are going to get it going on the same night and all that, but that guard quartet combined for 76 points the other night, kind of scary to think what that could look like, you know, if they all were on an uptick heading into the most crucial time of the year. And there's going to be much more tough defensive challenges. It's going to make it a lot tougher, so don't expect it to look like that. But think about it. You know, when Vic was hitting early in the year, Malik was slow to come on, or maybe he was not quite where Vic was at. And then Devontae was the best player in the country for about a week, but other guys lagged back. Then Malik going while Vic started to take a back seat. Then Vic was nowhere to be heard of while Fee was the best player in the conference for 2 weeks. Then Devontae went in the tank for just a couple of games. But, you know, it was Malik stepping up and leading it versus Baylor. It's never been at the same time. And I say that because in a year where college basketball is so up and down, last 2 weeks we've had top 10 teams, five or six of them, in each of the last 2 weeks losing. You know, Kansas might be the club that somehow, amazingly, even with six losses, is on the one line, and yet they've not played close to sustaining their optimal potential level. And if they could get to that here at the end of the year, you know, there's an extra gear that they've not kicked it into that I think some of these other teams probably have peaked already. And yeah. So to me, that's very encouraging.
I agree with you. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, with us. Okay, so the big game coming up on Saturday, and it's still a huge game. I know Texas Tech lost their last two. They lost at Baylor by two. Keenan Evans got hurt in the first half, didn't play second half. And I think it's a shame because Texas Tech's had a great year, and I really would like to see KU knock off a team at full power here. And we don't know what Evans, how effective he's going to be on Saturday. He didn't play in crunch time. He only had 2 points last night in the loss at Oklahoma State. But this thing we know for sure. If Kansas wins Saturday in Lubbock, that will clinch at least a share of the Big 12 title, and thus there's 14 titles in a row. KU, Bill Self has never lost twice to the same team in Big 12 regular season play. He's 17-0 in payback games. Of course, Tech beat KU and Lawrence earlier this year. ESPN Game Day is going to be there. It's going to be a big, big deal. This is newfound territory for Texas Tech in regards to all the hubbub that's going to be there in Lubbock coming up on Saturday, which I wonder if that'll serve as a distraction for them, because certainly Kansas has been there, done that just this past Saturday. You, of course, very familiar with Texas Tech. You used to be the voice of the Red Raiders. To me, it comes down a lot to Keenan Evans and his health. But if Texas Tech does win this game on Saturday, it's not the end of the world for Kansas. They could easily win their last two. Texas at home and at Oklahoma State. And Tech's got to go to Morgantown on Monday, 48 hours after this game on Saturday. So even if Kansas loses, I still feel like they're in really good shape to get a share of the league title.
Absolutely. And even if they lose, they could still win the league title outright.
Yes.
Now that Tech has stubbed its toe, no pun intended, with Keenan, 2 games in a row. First off, I love Keenan Evans. Like I said, you know, prior to the injury, he might have had my vote for Big 12 Player of the Year. He's meant that much to a team that's climbed that high. And to me, that's what it's about. It's an individual award. But, you know, the biggest reason that we show up to the stadium isn't to go out and get 30 points and 9 assists. It's to win games. And he's been that for his team with huge performances and crunch time and all that. But now he's been injured. But to me, in addition to the storyline of Keenan Evans becoming one of the nation's elite guards, it's been Chris Beard's ability to blend in some of the new talent and, honestly, better recruits as freshmen than Tubby even got there, Zaire Smith, Jarrett Culver, with the pre-existing pieces like Keenan Evans and Lawrence Odiasse and Justin Gray. You know, Zach Smith's been hurt at times this year, not the player we thought he would be as a senior, but he got a pretty good situation, Chris Beard did, when he took that job, the cupboard being pretty dang full coming off an NCAA tournament team 2 years ago. And then he went out and, you know, in his second recruiting class, gets two guys that are going to be stars in this league for the next 4 years in Culver and Zaire Smith. And I think his ability to blend those pieces has really been a masterful job. And, you know, it's often when it comes to Big 12 Coach of the Year that the balloters look at, okay, where were you picked in October? Where did you finish in March? And whoever climbed the highest, that's going to be who it is. And I think that's why Bill Self, even though he's working on his 14th straight Big 12 conference title, has only been the league's coach of the year 5 times, because a lot of times the folks doing the voting say, well, you were expected to be there. Sometimes when you're expected to be there and then you lose a 5-star, and you find a way to work through it, blending in, you know, a patchwork group of about as thin as you've had since 2012, that to me is worth being Coach of the Year. But I say that in reference to Tech and the original question because I think both these two head coaches have been phenomenal this year. You know, in very different circumstances, and Beard climbing this team higher than anybody would have given him credit for. I mean, pick 6th or 7th in the preseason league poll. Now they're 6th or 7th in the nation. And then Bill Self, yeah, everybody thought that Kansas was going to win it, but we found out real fast this league was way better than anybody gave it credit for coming in. He lost his best recruit, and yet here he sits with a 1-game lead with 3 to go. It's been incredible to see both these programs accomplish what they have. And like you, I hope that the Keenan's able to give it more of a go on Saturday. You certainly don't want to win this thing and then hear people say, ah, you only won it because their best player got hurt for the last week and a half or whatever. But Kansas is in a strong position. And even if they lose on Saturday, the Morgantown game looms large for Texas Tech. And Tech now has 5 league road losses. I'll say it again, 5. And they've been really good on their home floor, which is why Saturday is so daunting. But that's how tough this league has been. On a top 6 team nationally, they've lost in Ames, Stillwater, and Austin. They've lost in Norman and Waco, 5 of them. And so, going out on the road's been tough. And so we'll see what happens come Monday. But Jayhawk fans now have just a little bit of breathing room, and not everything falls on Saturday like it was shaping up to after the results of last night.
All right, time for the off-the-wall question, Brian. And what's your favorite TV show theme song? What's one that sticks in your head, one of your favorite TV show theme songs?
Wow, that's a tough one. Well, I mean, obviously, you got to go Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Obviously.
I mean, this is the story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. I'd like to take a moment to sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
I should have
known that. The next line is the one that's so often confused. I always thought he said, it was Philadelphia, born and raised. But I think he actually says, in West Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yep, I think you're right.
Which means he's a West Sider just like me. I was West Side top city. West Side's the best side. But, it is, Philadelphia, born and raised. On the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, relaxing, or cooling, or shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys, they were up to no good. Started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got one little fight. My mom got scared. She said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air. I whistled for a cab, and when it came near, the license plate said fresh. It had a dice in the mirror. If anything, I would say that this cab was rare, but I thought, nah, forget it. Yo, home's the Bel Air. I know it's only a 2-hour show, so I won't give you the rest. But there you go. Best theme song of all time.
That was an answer I was not prepared for. You never cease to amaze me, Brian Haney. That is for sure. But it is appropriate. It's appropriate.
I promise you, I love my 9 other Big 12 play-by-play brethren in the league, but I don't think that anybody else is going to give you that.
No.
With seriousness, so that's unique just for you guys, all right?
Nobody is going to hold a candle to your rapping ability. There is no question about it, especially in the Big 12.
I'm not saying it was good. I'm just saying they wouldn't dare go there.
No, you're right. They wouldn't. That you put yourself out there. That's why we like having you on the show every Thursday. Absolutely.
Well, you pull it out of me.
Well, we try. Hey, 2 big games coming up at Texas Tech, of course, on Saturday. Pregame at 2:30 on Z9 6.3 a lake. And, of course, and then it's going to be really special Monday night, senior night. KU never loses on senior night. That's at home against Texas on Monday. So we'll recap those games. And next time we talk, we might be talking about KU having already clinched a share, if not an outright Big 12 title, and that would be number 14 in a row.
Wouldn't that be amazing? The greatest streak of conference dominance in the history of college basketball. So many things that are the greatest ever about college hoops, or in terms of tradition, are the best ever, belong to Kansas. And we're so close to saying that one does too. So thrilled at that possibility, and hopefully that's a reality next time we talk.
Safe travels to Lubbock. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Thanks, Brian.
See you, bud.
Take care. That's Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday here on The Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, and life and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5700. 1201. Once again, KU Texas Tech on Z96.3, pregame at 2:30. If we have issues with Z96.3, we will move that to KD Country 94 on Saturday. The 6th-ranked Red Raiders versus the 8th-ranked Jayhawks. KU a chance to clinch at least a share of the Big 12 title with a win Saturday in Lubbock, which would be a record 14 conference titles in a row.